The ship was a decent size, with a spacious captain's quarters up deck where the helm was located. Inside the captain's room were bookshelves containing journals and books the father had collected on his journeys. Also a stand that had maps and various paper etchings on it. The boys had briefly gone down below deck, where they saw a crowded kitchen with a pantry stocked with sealed jars of various fruits, vegetables, and dried meats. There was also a stove that appeared to be fueled by wood. Down a narrow hall from the kitchen were the sleeping quarters. Four bunk beds and two additional pull-out mattresses were in this section, enough for a small crew of 10. Back up deck in the captain quarters, the four were sitting around a table talking about their current predicament.
We have to go now.
We need to go home,
Cooper said.
Those men in my house knew about you two,
James said, pointing at Wesley and Cooper.
Also the watch. They asked me where it was.
How is that possible? We've only talked to you guys.
People notice things. There's spies everywhere,
James said nervously, as he peeked through a curtain to the outside pier.
We need to set sail before they find us hiding here.
What happened back at your house?
Wesley asked.
There were too many for me to fight by myself. I bought you time and then followed out the window. Was able to get away and hide, but they ransacked our place. Captain Crassel and those smelly twin brothers.
Ch! Twin brothers?
Wesley looked up and said,
Big men with dark hair and beards wearing dark armor?
Yeah, exactly.
James turned away from the window, his expression curious.
How'd you know?
Those were the same guys we saw on the beach, who destroyed our ship.
I'm sorry. I didn't know your ship was destroyed,
James said, seeming genuinely upset by this. The sun was starting to set now, and a cool sea breeze was coming through an open window, cooling down the humid cabin.
When it turns dark, we set sail. Okay?
I'm with you, bro. But how do we help them get back home?
Beach guy said, looking at Wesley and Cooper.
Have you tried messing with the watch again?
Yeah, I've been playing with it since we got back here. It won't tick anymore. Even when I turn the knob. Maybe the same reason my dad was working on it.
It seemed to tick fine when we were in our cardboard ship.
My dad used to have a friend that fixed clocks and pocket watches. Maybe we can guess he in.
That would be awesome,
the boy said in unison.
Does he live here in Summer City?
No, a little island village not far from here.
That would be good. We need to get out of town for a while anyways, while we figure out why we're being chased.
Beach Guy and the boys reviewed the map while James stood guard by the window. The boys took out the ham sandwiches they had packed and savored every bite. How long would it be before they eat another ham sandwich like this, Wesley thought. The maps were quite detailed. Cities, towns, islands with strange names. Some had weird markings next to them and little notes. Wesley noticed some landmarks had skulls next to them. Beach Guy explained his dad always marked the most dangerous spots with skulls. Traveling to those places, you should use the greatest caution, he said. The watchmaker, according to the map, lived about 3-hour travel time from Summer City. A small island called Petya on the island were two towns, one on each opposite side. Stoneville, where the watchmaker lived, was on the south, and Lisa, which was marked with a skull, lied on the north side. Beach Guy pulled one of his dad's travel journals off a shelf and dusted it off. Inside were alphabetical tabs. Beach Guy thumbed over to L and found a page on Lisa. The page read,
Our travels to rescue Marcus the Brave brought us to a town on the island of Petya. The men that occupy Lisa are of reptilian descent and not friendly towards outsiders. Be cautious when walking at night and always carry anti-venom.
The reptilian men aren't all bad,
Beach Guy explained.
Many of them fought alongside us during the pirate wars, but there are some that don't like humans.
Scowids.
James spoke up.
Huh?
Said Cooper, confused.
That's what they're called. Not reptilian men, brother.
James corrected.
Have you mapped out the coordinates yet?
Yes, and I believe we're ready to go,
said Beach Guy.
Good. The longer we stay here, the more dangerous it becomes. Let's set sail.
The boys watched closely as their new friends pulled the anchors and raised the sails of the ship. It was dark out now, and the large full moon reflected off of the black placid ocean. Cooper noticed Beach Guy sprinkling a scoop of brightly colored flakes into a long cylinder near one of the masts. Instantly, the sails became full of wind, almost by magic, and the ship began to navigate out of the port. As the sails unfurled, a big emblem became visible, a symbol of two cutlasses illuminated in the moonlight.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. Weird.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Maybe some kind of magic fish food?
Said Wesley, with a big smirk on his face. His joke was interrupted by the sound of a giant boom. Cooper and Wesley both hit the deck as fast as they could. The whistling of something large and fast flew overhead, and then a big splash on the opposite side of the ship.
What was that?
Wesley yelled.
Cannon fire!
What do we do?
I think now's a good time to test those cannons we were talking about.
Beach Guy said, smiling, not looking scared at all. Cooper looked up from the side of the boat to where the boom had come from. A dark-masted ship followed a short distance behind them. They had barely even made it out of the city port. Could it be Captain Krassel and his crew were waiting for them to leave the port to launch their attack? The boys sprang into action, grabbing heavy cannonballs from a giant wooden crate. Beach Guy loaded the cannon with the same colorful flake stuff Cooper saw him use earlier, using a long ramrod to shove it to the back of the cannon. Must be some kind of fuel, Cooper thought. The cannonball went in after. Even though the cannon was on wheels, moving and aiming it was tougher than expected. Both brothers had to use all their strength to point it towards the ship in pursuit. Another boom was heard in the distance, a short delay, and then the sound of wood being torn and broken came from the side of their ship.
That one skimmed us.
James yelled from the captain's quarter as he attempted to steer away from the pursuers.
Steady aim now,
said Beach Guy as he pulled out a little shiny metal trinket from his pocket. Wesley stared down the barrel as Beach Guy and Cooper maneuvered the cannon.
A little higher?
Wesley said, anticipating the trajectory and curvature of the cannonball.
Stop right there. Fire.
Beach Guy positioned his hand next to a hole on the top of the cannon and ignited the trinket. The boys covered their ears. The noise was loud enough to make their ears ring, even with their hands covering them. A weird smell of burnt pastries filled the air. Wesley watched in delight as his shot trajectory proved to be spot on. The cannonball hit directly into one of the masts of the ship, causing the sail and rigging to all collapse. The boys cheered.
Yes!
Wow. You're a natural shot,
James said. The pursuing ship, without its sail and mast, slowed to a halt. The city lights got dimmer as the brig picked up speed. The boys huddled together in the captain's quarters, wanting to stay with James as he navigated the ship. Beach Guy opened a bottom drawer of a nearby dresser and pulled out some blankets. Under the blankets was what looked to be a musical device with a crank.
What is that thing?
Wesley asked.
Our dad used to play this for us when we were younger, to help us fall asleep.
Beach Guy said as he twisted the hand crank. A soft melody began to play. The boys curled up on the floor with the blankets and some pillows. They were safe, for now, but a few questions still begged to be answered. Why were they being chased? How did Beach Guy's dad's watch end up with their dad? Would they ever get back home? Their eyes began to close as the ship gently rocked on the waters. Let's see what tomorrow brings, thought Cooper as he slowly drifted off. Thank you.